4 years ago.
That's a pretty good story, though.
Yeah.
Now, who were some of the people that lived on this street?
Well, frankly, Jolly is the only name I can remember outside of Spoonman.
You don't remember a family named Williver that lived down by Jolly's that were sort of very retarded, and they tell us they used to walk around over Crowsville begging. A couple of them died in the epidemic, the flu epidemic of First World War, I understand.
That's what my mom died. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember, I was a rather little boy, and when I got old enough to get into the other, my interests were not with these people on the street.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean that's any reflection at all, because we were poor as church mice, and,
mm-hmm.
and we were right apart of it.
Yeah. Do you remember the name Jurgensmeyer? Did they live here at that time?
No, sir, I don't remember.
Uh-huh. When I first came to town, there was a baker that lived right up in your house, John. You remember a very old man, a baker?
No, I don't remember any except Jolly.
Mm-hmm.
And you found out why.
Yeah.
And Spillman. Now, I don't even remember any of the young men that now that went in, although at the time I knew who they were.
Yeah. Of course, they're on that plaque there. They're on that newspaper article that gives a list of them. Tell us about your career after you left here. What happened to you then? Did you leave after the war?
Yes. I went from here to Marion, Indiana. Became managing editor of the Marion, Indiana Chronicle.
That's where Bob Harvey was the...
I've known Bob. His father's in the bank.
Yeah.
And
you know, he's our backdoor neighbor here.
Well, I know that.
Yeah, he lives right over here.
Well, he knows me real well. I know him.
Yeah.
Well. In fact, once when I came back here while he was teaching a class in journalism, and he had me come over and talk to his class.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob Harvey I felt very close to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he does too to me. But at any rate, I don't, for the life of me, remember any of these people from here. And I went to Marion, Indiana, and became the managing editor of the Marion, Indiana Chronicle. And I had a friend that gave a job to, and he wanted to become a writer, an author. And so he moved to New York. And a few months phoned me and said there was a position open in the Bill Brothers Publishing Company, where he was then working as the head of one of the magazines. And he'd like to recommend me for it. Would I accept? I said, sure, I'll accept it. So next thing I knew, I got the offer. Went to New York, and I went to New York, I think, in about the time before Santa died, but he took her around. At any rate, we were there until 28. I had decided that I wanted to own a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I'd gotten friendly with the Bill Brothers, Edward Lyman Bill and Raymond Bill, and they were fine fellows. And they agreed to finance me if I filed a paper. So I started out and found names of six papers I ought to look at. New York State down for West Virginia. Finally ended up in the one in Waynesboro, Virginia. And what made the decision to move there was Waynesboro was just a little crossroads. Not much there. It was a weekly paper.
Mm-hmm.
But I ran into the one of the officials of the DuPont Company in New York. And I, of course, told him my ambition. He was a bachelor, and very wealthy, had a yacht. So finally he told me, he says, among others, I mentioned Waynesboro, he said, oh, let me tell you, don't say that I told you, but DuPont is going to put a big plant there, employ over 3,000 people. Well, that's as many people as lived in the community then. So that settled it. I came down, made arrangements to buy the paper for $20,000. And then when I came down to take it over, I talked them out of another $1,000. So it cost $19,000. That was in August of 29. And it wasn't many weeks until we hit that terrific
crash.
I have $3,500 capital to operate on. I was gone 2 months. And we had one level at a time, make it.
Mm-hmm.
But it never occurred to me to give up.
Mm-hmm.
Once we owed the bank some money, I couldn't even pay the interest. So I walked up to the bank and again laid the keys down. Well, the teller, he said, what's this? I said, you keys to News Virginia. You're in the News Virginia business now. I can't pay you the note, I can't pay even any on it, I can't even pay the interest. Walked out. Well, I had a deep-dyed feeling that they wouldn't take it over. Well, within 45 minutes, five directors of that bank were down at the newspaper office. To convince me to stay on and that they would let me renew the note, add the interest as yet due, and I did. Well, in 7 years, 1927-34, we were in business of trying to build up. Well, we finally built, I think, and this was verified, one of the best daily newspapers.
Did DuPont actually come there then?
Oh my, yes. Yes, sir. They came down, started building the year we came down. And C.J. Bacon was sent down, he was a executive. DuPont had sort of supervised things over. And for some reason or other, he got friendly with me. I never understood it, to tell you the truth, until later. I found out that he had been a printer's devil when he was a boy. And therefore he had a license for print shops. Well, we were in a little place 24 feet wide and 40 feet deep, that was all. But we, I'd gone. And in 5 years ago, I decided I had no one to take over the paper. None of my kids were interested.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to sell them. Gosh, I was 75 years old and
mm-hmm.
I was getting tired. So we got a man that I had met previously. And he came and, well, a few months he came in and said, I think we've got an offer and work just right. I don't know whether this ought to be broadcast or not, but this paper, which I came down here with $635, that's all, and borrowed money, all of which is repaid,
mm-hmm.
penny for penny, plus interest, and he said, I've got an offer. $780 a share. Well, I said, I was stunned. I thought if he offered $200, it would be. In the meantime, we had more building on, moved up, and the building was a former Presbyterian church. And I said, well, if you pay $800 over a 15-year period, 7%, I'll consider it. And that's what happened. So if my $635 ended up over $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was very happy about that.
Well,
I traveled.
Did you, you had sons that came to Wabash, didn't you, or did you?
Two sons.
Uh-huh.
Out of three.
Huh.
My eldest son, in the class of 19. 50.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest son, the middle son, wanted to go to Washington and leave
mm-hmm.
near home. So that was all right. The youngest son graduated in 61.
I think Jim Ayers knows.
No.
Jim knows him. Jim. Jim was a fight game, and I think he knew
Bob was a fight game.
Mm-hmm. I say that without inhibition.
If it's just younger when you're talking about
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
I had a grandson.
And when did he graduate?
When did, Mom?
Yes?
When did John graduate from out here?
73, I believe, was right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 73.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Captain John Spillman was a graduate. He was my family father's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he graduated right at the start of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
My great grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them, nearly the whole student body formed a company.
Went to the
elected him captain.
Mm-hmm. Spillman, huh?
Captain Robert B. Spillman. Well, that made me feel close to Wabash, too.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up all around it, I'd heard nothing but Wabash.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready to help you.
Yeah. Well, John, do you think of anything else? I'm sure you've got some more questions to ask about Anna Wilson.
Well, we Your time is probably up. We're probably detaining you long.
Yeah, we probably have got you here too long.
Oh, my.
I think you better go.
Yes.